I'm going to do my very best, but I want to let you know I appreciate you coming out here, and I trust that what I'm going to say tonight will be biblical and will be encouraging to each of you. How many copies of God's Word do we have in the audience tonight? If you have a Bible, raise it up. Good. Thank you. The only way that you can verify what I'm going to say is that you use your copy of God's Word. Again, to the elders and to your fine ministers, thank you all for the invitation to be here. I'm going to get right into the subject so that we can get out here in a decent hour. My goal is to be through by 9:30. And I'll be walking home because my wife will leave me here if I preach that long. But I do want to present a lesson to you. Just to make sure we're bringing it to an end, I'm going to come on down. Okay? I know you already know that doesn't mean anything. Tonight, we want to talk about discovering the truth. Discovering the truth about the doctrines of men. The commandments of men. I have two objectives tonight. Number one is to try to make you aware there are consequences for obeying doctrines of men. There are consequences. And then I want to share with you a few doctrines and let you use the Bible to ascertain whether it be of Christ or of men. And if you discover that you have obeyed something and it's not the doctrine of Christ, tonight, maybe tonight, you need to make a change. So let's see what the Bible has to say about the doctrines of men. First, I have to give you an exhortation. If you have your copy of God's Word, turn to 1 Thessalonians. Look at chapter 5 and verse 21. Here's the exhortation that we have from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And he says that we are to prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Prove all things. If you're going to preach something, if you're going to teach something, you ought to prove it. And you ought not to prove it from your feelings. You ought not to prove it from traditions. It ought to be proven from God's word. Because what determines what's right or wrong is not what I think. It's not what you think. It's what the Bible says. And so if we're going to teach something, if you're going to teach something, if you're going to believe something, you ought to be able to prove what you believe and what you have obeyed. The Bible says, prove all things. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at the latter part of verse number 15. Here's the exhortation given to us from Peter, that we are to be always ready to give an answer to every man that wants to know of the hope that is within you. Tonight, I want to give you an answer as to why I believe what I believe and why I teach what I teach. And if you believe something, you ought to be ready to give an answer to what you believe and why you believe it. And if you can't give an answer for it, and if you don't know why you believe it, why then are you believing it? The Bible was given to us, as I mentioned in each service, that we can know what? The truth. We don't have some of the truth. John 16:13 tells us we have all the truth. That was the job of the Holy Spirit, to guide the writers into all the truth. And God, as was mentioned in the prayer, has given unto us all things pertaining to life and godliness, according to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3. Prove all things. Be ready to give an answer. But in the midst of this exhortation, the Bible gives us a warning. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. Look at verse number 1. Why is this here? If it's not true, why is it in the Bible? Because it is true. And if there ever was a time when this verse is true, it's true tonight. I don't know about down here in Florida, but back in Tennessee, we have individuals who are preaching things that are foreign to the Bible. And the Bible says, believe not every spirit. You know what it's talking about there? Believe not every preacher. That's the better rendering of that. Don't you believe every preacher? Don't you believe every preacher? Because there are many false prophets who have gone out there into the world. But he says, do something. And that's what I want you to do to me tonight. He says, put every spirit, every preacher to the test. Amen. I'm here to preach. And I want you to put me to the test. That's why I want you to use the Bible. Because if what I'm preaching is not in the Bible, somebody needs to sit me down and say, preacher, get back to the Bible. Amen. It's amazing that if you were getting ready to be operated on and you were going to have something removed from your stomach and he started cutting on your leg, you just say, go ahead on, don't worry about that. Come on. You tell them to stop. Oh, wait. Hold it. But when it comes to religion, we'll let anything go on. They're trying to lead you to heaven. And so tonight, the Bible says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether it be of God. The only way you can tell that I'm a servant of God is that what I preach is found in the word of God. If it's not in the word of God, then it must be the doctrine of men. And you need to know the consequences of obeying the doctrines of men. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 1. The Bible says, now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit speaketh very clearly, very plainly. The Spirit expresseth that in the latter time, some shall depart from the faith. Not a faith, the faith. Teaching things they ought not to teach. Who's going to be teaching this? Seducing spirits, lying preachers, lying men. What are they going to be preaching? Doctrines of devils. You know what he put in the category as doctrines of devils? Doctrines of men. That's what he's talking about there. Doctrines of men are nothing more than the doctrines of demons. Doctrines of devils, they are designed to blind people. They are designed to mislead people. And the only way we can tell if what we're believing is the doctrine of Christ or the doctrine of men is to use the word of God. Amen. If you want to go to heaven tonight, I plead with you. I plead with you. I beg you to use God's word to determine some doctrines I'm going to present tonight. And you determine for yourself whether it be of Christ or of men. Turn to Romans chapter 16. Look at verse 17 as well as in verse 18. Listen to what Paul wrote to the saints there. And he says, I beseech thee, brethren, I beg you, I plead with you. What I'm about to do tonight, I don't have an option. I have to do it. The Lord has commanded me to do it. What is it? He says, mark those that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine that you have received and avoid them. Mark those. There are individuals who are preaching. There are doctrines that are being taught that we are to identify that this is not according to the Bible. And I want to present some doctrines and then you determine. I'm not going to draw the conclusion. I'm going to let you draw the conclusion, whether it be of Christ or of God. Now look at verse 18. He says, for they that are such, there are certain individuals, they're not serving our Lord, but they're serving their own bellies. They're individuals, they're not concerned about trying to get you to heaven. They're concerned about their own image. They're concerned about their own popularity. They're concerned about their own agenda. I'm not here this week to try to preach Sam Jones because I'm nobody. I'm nothing but a servant. My job is to lead you to walk with Jesus. And so remember the exhortation, try the preacher. Test every preacher. And then he says that we are to always be ready to give an answer to every man of the hope that is within us. Let me give you some reasons why you need to avoid the commandments of men. Okay? What are some consequences of obeying the commandments of men? Before we look at some doctrines, I need to share with you tonight why you need to avoid commandments of men. Let's go to the first reason. Turn to Matthew 15. Look at verse number 9. Here's the first reason that you and I need to avoid the commandments of men. This is the first reason why we need to examine everything we believe and see if it's according to the will of God. Jesus says it is possible to worship God in vain. When? When is your worship all in vain? When you are following, when you are doing things according not to the doctrine of Christ, but according to the doctrine of men. The Bible says, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. When you worship God and you're following not the doctrine of Christ and you're following the doctrine of men, it's in vain. It's empty. It's useless. It is of no purpose for God when we don't follow the instruction of Jesus. Jesus is the only person. Turn to Hebrews 5. Look at verse number 9. The Bible says that Jesus says he is the author of eternal salvation to all those that obey H-I-M, that obey him. I can't save you. I can't condemn you to hell. I can't do anything to you. I'm trying to save myself. But the person who can save you is Jesus. And if we want our worship to be acceptable to God, we can't follow commandments of men. We have to follow the doctrine of Christ. Amen. The second reason you need to avoid the doctrine of men is in that same verse, or same chapter rather. Go down to verse 13. Matthew 15, 13. The Bible says, according to my Bible, every plant. Now, he's not talking about trees out there. He's not talking about flowers. He's talking about doctrines. Every doctrine, every commandment, every teaching, every plant which my Father has not authorized shall be, not might be, shall be what? Rooted up. Every plant, every doctrine that is being taught, if it doesn't belong to Christ on the day of judgment, is going to be rooted up. That's why you need to make sure tonight that what you have obeyed is according to the word of God. Because if you obey something and it's not the doctrine of Christ, but the doctrine of men, it's going to be rooted up. And I know some of you saying, well, preacher, God ought not to hold me accountable. There are preachers and men and women who have gone to these seminaries and they have expanded their logical thinking. And I'm just following my preacher. God ought not to hold me accountable. I'm just following my preacher. And my preacher told me to do this. You better read verse 14. Jesus says, now, if the blind lead the blind, only the leader is going to fall into the ditch. No. They both. You can blindly follow a man. And guess what? Have you ever traveled and you think you're following somebody and know what they're going? And they end up lost and you lost too because you were following them? That's why they have maps. Men, sometimes we don't like to hear that, do we? I know where I'm going. Well, the Bible said it's the blind. If you're blindly following the preacher and you won't take out the map, God's word, God's way to heaven and read it for yourself, if the blind lead the blind, the Bible says they both shall fall into the ditch. And it's not talking about the ditch out there. It's talking about hell. Amen. You both are going to be lost. You don't want to follow the commandments of men. You want to be sure. It's amazing that we live in a country where people would examine everything but religion, and we'll just take anything that we hear on the radio, television, or from the pulpit. I challenge you tonight, put me to the test. Every time you hear a sermon preached from this pulpit, I challenge you to bring the Bible and say, preach the word. If it's not preaching the word, pull the man aside. And you have elders here to do it. Well, do that, and I know you have men in the pulpit who will preach the word. You know why? Only the word of God will save you. The doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of men won't benefit you at all. Turn to 2 John 9. The Bible says, whosoever. Does that mean you? Whosoever, does that mean me? What about the president? What about Congress? What about the Pope? Whosoever transgresseth and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ. There's only two doctrines. If you're not in the doctrine of Christ, you have to be in the doctrine of men. There's only two options in life, the doctrine of Christ or the doctrine of men. Whosoever transgresseth, whosoever goeth about his way and does not continue in the doctrine of Christ has not God. Brothers and sisters and friends, you don't want to live without God. And the only way you can have God is that you have to abide in the doctrine of Christ. But look at that verse. But he that abided in the doctrine of Christ, is the conclusion, has both the Father and the Son. When do you have both the Father and the Son? When you abide in the doctrine of Christ. Why is the doctrine of Christ so important? Because God has given Jesus all authority. That's the reason. Tonight, the only person that has the authority to authorize what you are to do and what I'm to do to be saved is Jesus. I don't have any authority. Brother Dan doesn't have any authority. The elders don't have any authority when it comes to what you must do in order to go to heaven. Jesus has all authority. Amen. And that's why the Bible says, whosoever transgresseth and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ doesn't have God. Turn to Titus chapter 1. Look at verse number 14. Why should I avoid the doctrines of men. The Bible says avoid Jewish fables. And, let me say that again. I don't think you heard me. The Bible says avoid Jewish fables and commandments of men. Why? He's going to tell you. Because they will turn you from the truth. Why is the truth so important? John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Set you free. If you follow the commandments of men, they turn you from the truth. And when you don't have the truth, guess what? You're not. You're not free. If you follow the commandments of men, you're still in your sin. You're still in your sin. The only way you can be free from sin is that you have to obey the truth. And the truth is only in the doctrine of Christ. Have you obeyed the doctrine of Christ tonight? If not, why not? And if you say, I don't know, then why are you paying your preacher for? Come on. What you paying him for? His job is to help you to comprehend and understand God's will. Then why don't you read the Bible for yourself? Let me smile. I'm not angry. Someone said, that preacher's angry. No, I'm upset with Satan because he has blinded the hearts of many that we're just listening to anything and think as long as we're sincere, it just doesn't matter what we obey and God will save us. That's not the case. We have to obey the doctrine of Christ. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. Look at verse number 6. Here's another reason you need to avoid the doctrine of men. Paul talking to the saints in Galatia. He says, I marvel. I'm surprised. Have you ever been surprised by certain things? He just said, I am surprised, you brethren, that you're so soon removed from the gospel of Christ, from the doctrine of Christ to another teaching, to another doctrine, which is not another. Did you hear what I just said? The Bible says there's not another. There's only one doctrine of Christ. And he says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from the gospel of Christ to another, which is not another. But there'll be some that would trouble you and would what? Pervert. They would change the gospel of Christ. But he goes on to say, he says, but though an angel, listen to this. He said, if an angel came down from heaven tonight and stepped in this pulpit and told you something else that was written in the word of God, don't you believe it? I've never seen an angel. But if there was someone that came here with wings and gave the appearance of what we think an angel ought to look like, he said, don't you believe that angel? Because that angel doesn't have the authority to tell you what to do to be saved. Jesus has the authority. And Jesus has told us, and he said, if an angel come unto you tonight and tell you something and that's not in the word of God, don't believe that angel. He said, if any man, does that include preachers? Does that include the president? Does that include the Congress? He says, if any man, if some man comes to you and say, I know that's not in the Bible, don't you worry about it. You better be suspicious of that man. Amen. He says, if any man tell you anything that's not written in the word of God, let that person be an anathema. Let that person be a curse. You need to avoid the commandments of men. A final reason that you need to avoid the commandments of men, turn to Revelation 22. Look at verse 19, or verse 18. The commandments of men are nothing more than additions to the word of God. I mean, addition. They're not addition to the word of God. They're just addition. And no man has the right to add to the word of God. The Bible tells us not to add to God's word. Because if we add to God's word, he's going to add to our plagues on the day of judgment. The doctrines of men, the commandments of men are nothing more than additions. And so tonight, I hope you can see the consequences of following the commandments of men. You need to, I need to follow the doctrine of Christ. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 7. Look at verse 21. You're familiar with the verse. Jesus said this very plainly. And it's so wonderful. You don't need to know Greek to understand. This is so simple that a child can comprehend it. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that what? Doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. What is the will of God tonight? Hear ye him. Hear who? Jesus. That's God's will, that we hear Jesus. Why? Jesus has all authority. And tonight you ought to be inquiring, and I ought to be inquiring, Jesus, What is it that you would have me to do to be saved? What is the doctrine of Christ that I must obey in order to be saved? Look at Luke 6 and verse 46. It raises this philosophical question for all of us. Why call me Lord? Lord. And you're going to do what you want to do. Isn't that amazing? That people will do what they want to do, and they read something in the Bible and say, I know the Bible says that, but that Lord didn't mean that. Jesus said, Sammy, why are you calling me Lord? If I'm your Lord and your master, when I tell you to do something, whether you understand it or not, you're going to do it. We may not understand why baptism is part of God's plan and what goes on in baptism, but if the Lord said do it, whether we comprehend it or not, doesn't matter. We have to do it. Amen, lights. Amen. You see, it's not up to us to determine what God's will is. It's up to us. I mean, let me explain what I meant by that. I mean by that, and that is we're to do God's will. It's not for us to say, well, God, I just don't, that doesn't make any sense to me. Whether it makes sense to us or not. If God said do it, then we have to do it because he has the authority to tell us what to do. Turn to Acts 5. Look at verse 29. In this chapter here, Peter and other apostles have been apprehended by the Sanhedrin and locked up because they were preaching Jesus Christ in the city of Jerusalem. The Sanhedrin told these Jewish boys not to preach Jesus Christ anymore in that city and try to bring the blood of Christ upon them. And tonight I challenge you to have the attitude of Peter and the other apostles. When Peter said before the Sanhedrin, this great body of Jewish leaders, he said, we have a decision to make. God has told us to preach Jesus. You have told us not to preach Jesus. Who are we going to obey? God or man? You know, that's what it boils down to tonight. Who are you going to obey? God or man? Peter said, we're going to obey God rather than men. That's my challenge for you tonight. Is that you will make a decision for the night and the rest of your life. I'm going to obey God rather than men. I've already mentioned, religiously, there are only two doctrines. Doctrine of Christ, doctrine of man. And every doctrine on earth falls into one of those two categories. Let me share a few doctrines with you, and you tell me whether it be the doctrine of Christ or the doctrine of men. I don't know about here in the state of Florida, but back in the state of Tennessee, there are preachers who are advocating that the name you wear religiously just doesn't matter. You can wear any name religiously that you want as long as you're sincere in your heart. God doesn't care. Now, I don't know if they teach that down here, but back in Henderson, Tennessee, that is blast every Sunday from the radio. Well, let's see what the Bible has to say about the name we wear religiously. Can we wear any name religiously and God would be pleased? In order to understand a name, you need to go back to the Old Testament. You need to go back 600 years before Pentecost. And God made a promise. Turn to Isaiah chapter 62. Look at verse number 2. In verse 1, he was talking about the establishment of the church. In Isaiah 62 and verse number 1. And then he said, after the church was established, he says, when the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all the kings thy glory. He says, my people will be called by a new name. By the mouth of whom? By the mouth of the Lord. Did you hear what I just said? Man is not going to give them this new name. He says the mouth of the Lord is going to give his people a new name. When? After the church is established. And after the Gentiles see thy righteousness, God said, I'm going to give my people a new name, an everlasting name, a name that will not change according to Isaiah 56 and verse number 5. Well, let's go to the New Testament and see. If you know, on the day of Pentecost, Jews and only proselytes were baptized. Acts chapter 8, the Samaritans, half Jews and half Gentiles, were baptized. We haven't seen it yet, a complete Gentile yet being baptized. But get to Acts chapter 10. Look at verse number 1. Look at verse number 2. We read about a man named Cornelius. Look at verse 2. The Bible tells us four things about him. He was a man that was a devout man. He was a man that feared God. He was a man that gave much alms to the poor, and he was a man that prayed every day. But guess what? Just because you pray, just because you're devout, just because you give money to the poor, doesn't mean you're saved. Amen, lights. Here's a man that was all of these, but he was not saved. But God told Peter to go down there and preach the gospel to this man. And Peter said, Lord, I can't go. Look at verse 34. God finally convinced Peter that God is no respecter of person, that God doesn't care whether you're black, polka dot, or neutral. If you will obey the will of God, you can be saved tonight. God is not concerned with race or color. God is concerned with true worshipers. True worshipers are those that will worship God in spirit and in truth. Now look at verse 44. There are some Jews that went down with Peter. And then he got down to Cornelius' household, and God convinced them that he had now opened up the door for the Gentiles to be saved by giving out the gift of the Holy Spirit on these men. And then they began to speak with tongues, and the Jews were magnified, and Peter was magnified. Say, can anyone now deny that these whom God had given the Holy Ghost to, the gift of the Holy Ghost, should not be baptized? They were all convinced that now God had opened up repentance to the Gentiles. To the Gentiles. Now look at verse 48. And Peter commanded them that they should be baptized. Why? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. When the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness and all the kings thy glory, I'm going to give my people a new name. Who's going to give it to them? God. Look in Acts chapter 11. Look at verse number 1. The apostles and brothers back in Jerusalem heard that God had now allowed the gospel to be preached to whom? The Gentiles. Now Peter makes it back to Jerusalem. Look at Acts chapter 11, verse 18. And he began to tell the brethren back there how God had used him to preach the gospel to whom? The Gentiles. The Gentiles have now seen God's righteousness. And God said, when the Gentiles see thy righteousness, I'm going to give my people a new name, an everlasting name. Now look at verse 26. When Barnabas had found Saul, they tarried down there with the church, the Gentile church in Antioch. And he labored with the church for a full year. And the disciples were first called what? Why? That's the name God gave them. Amen. Now, you tell me, by what authority do you wear any other name? Come on. You tell me, by what authority? God said, I'm going to give them the name. We didn't get the name Christian, just pull it out of the air and say, well, hey, I just think we ought to be called Christian. That's the name God gave. Amen. Why? Because that's what he promised 600 years before it ever came into actuality. And I don't have a right, nor you or any man, not even an angel, has a right to change God's will. Amen? Amen. When a man says it doesn't matter which name you wear, is that the doctrine of Christ or the doctrine of men? Let's go to another one. Back in the state of Tennessee, I don't know about down here, they say it's all right for a preacher to be called Reverend and for women to preach. I'm going to throw these two together. It's all right for a man to be called Reverend, and it's all right for women to preach. Now, Paul was one of the greatest preachers that ever lived. I think preachers ought to wear what Paul was called. There's nowhere in the New Testament where Paul was ever called Reverend Paul. Then what was Paul called? Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse number 15. What did Peter call Paul? It wasn't Reverend Paul. It wasn't Bishop Paul. He called him Brother Paul. It just wasn't something that we decided that we're going to call one another brother. The Bible says that we ought to call men by Bible names. And there's nowhere in the Bible you can find where a preacher was ever called Reverend. But I can show you where he was called Brother. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse number 23. What did the Hebrew writer call Timothy, who was a gospel preacher? If you read that verse, he called him Brother Timothy. If it's all right for a preacher to be called Reverend, why wasn't Paul called Reverend? Why wasn't Timothy called Reverend? That's right. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Look at verse number 12. The Apollos was an eloquent preacher, perhaps one of the best preachers that ever mentioned in the New Testament. He could preach circles around Paul, but he wasn't called Reverend Paul. What did Paul call him in 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 12? He called him Brother Apollos. I wonder why They didn't call him Reverend. And now we have people today saying it's all right to call a man Reverend. By whose authority? By whose authority? I have Bible for where a preacher been called a brother. I have no Bible for where a preacher was called Reverend. I have no right to go beyond that which is written. The Bible teaches us by command, by example, or by inference. You can't take some verse and infer whether it's all right to call him that. Show me. We have no example. I have an example where, and I can show you 6 or 7 places where they were called brother, but I can't show you one place where they were called Reverend. The Reverend is only used one time in the Bible. Psalms 111, verse 9, and it says, holy and reverence God's name. You know what reverence really means in that text? Awesome. Awesome. Now you tell me what man is on the same level with God. Amen. They say it's all right to call a preacher Reverend. Is that the doctrine of Christ or the doctrine of men? If you call a preacher Reverend, are you doing God's will or are you doing man's will? The Bible says he's a brother, not a Reverend. Well, what about women preaching? Oh, I could stay here all night, but I won't. Well, let's see what the Bible has to say. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse number 12. Now, the Bible hasn't changed. The Bible said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, God said, but I do not permit a woman to usurp authority over the man. I do not permit or allow a woman to teach over a man in religious service. In the secular world, that's okay. But when we come to worship service, a woman cannot usurp authority over the man. That's not God's will. If you look at verse 13 and 14, he tells us the two reasons why. And why God did this, I don't know. It's not for me to explain to you. God said, Adam was formed first and then Eve. Eve was a seed, but she's going to be saved in a childbearing. But go back to verse number 12. I do not permit a woman to usurp authority over the man. Well, that's just culture. Brothers and sisters, God is smarter than I would ever be. And God knew that culture was going to change. And if God had wanted to say, meant that culture was going to change the way we interpret the Bible, he would have made it that way. Did you hear what I just said? If something has changed, it's not because God has changed. It was wrong 20 years ago. Amen. It was wrong 20 years ago and culture hadn't changed that much. But all of a sudden now somebody woke up and it's all right now. By whose authority can we change God's will? This was not an issue 40 years ago, 30 years ago. But now all of a sudden God has revealed that it's okay. Give me book, chapter, and verse. Turn to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34. God's will is that women, when they come to worship service, and we're talking about and the preaching and teaching, women ought to be silent in the churches. It's all right for women to sing. It's all right in a situation in a Bible class to make a comment, but you cannot usurp authority over the man in worship service. That's not God's will. Now, it's not for me to go through and explain to you 10 reasons why God says that's not okay. God says it's not to be done. Amen. And it's not for me to try to explain why God said what he said when he said what he said. I just got to take it as it is. Amen? Amen. Let me smile. Women want to preach. And my question is by whose authority? By whose authority? My final point. Back in the state of Tennessee, there's a doctrine being advocated that you don't have to be baptized to be saved. That all you have to do is join a church of your choice and serve God as sincerely as you can be and be a morally good person. If you don't do anything that's immoral and hurt other people, you can join a church of your choice and you don't have to be baptized and God will save you. Now, I don't know if they teach that down here, but we hear that back in Tennessee. Let's see what the Bible says. Turn to Acts 23, verse 1. In Acts 23, verse 1, we're introduced to a man who was religious, but lost. At least he was saved at that time, but he's standing before the Jewish council. And he tells them that, hey, before I obeyed the gospel, he said, I thought I was right. You know, just because you think you're right doesn't make you right. Amen? Amen. He said, I felt like I was right. And he said, I had a good conscience. He said, my conscience didn't bother me. And people think just because their conscience doesn't bother them, that makes it right. Paul said, I had a good conscience, that what I was doing was all right with God. He was telling that council that before I obeyed the gospel, I lived in all good conscience. Let's go back to Acts chapter 9. Look at verses 5 and 6. One day, this religious man was on his way to Damascus, and he was going to persecute anybody in the way, but he discovered something on the road to Damascus, who the Lord is. You see, just because you're serving God doesn't mean you're right with God. Until you understand who he is, you can't obey him. Saul said, I thought I knew you, Lord. Who art thou? Who art thou? I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecute. You see, sometimes the Lord needs to get our attention. And he got Saul's attention. And Saul discovered who he is and said, Lord, who are you? Now that you know who I am, he said, Lord, what will you have me to do to be saved? You see, he was a religious man and thought he was saved, but discovered he wasn't.
That's right.
And notice, God has never told anyone directly what to do to be saved. Amen?
Amen.
God has always told men what to do through the reading of the word or through the preaching of the word. Now, why would God, if God told Saul directly what to do to be saved, that would be unfair. Why didn't God tell me? But he told him to go into the city. There's a man named Ananias, and he will instruct you what you need to do to be saved. Look at Acts 9, verse 18. And Ananias baptized him. Why did he baptize him? Because he was lost. And he tells us in Acts 22, verse number 16, that Ananias told him to arise and be baptized to do what? To wash away thy sin. Here was a man that thought he was saved. Here was a man who had a good conscience. Here was a man that went to synagogue. Here was a man that prayed, but he was lost.
Amen.
Until he obeyed the gospel. Just because you go to church doesn't mean you're saved. Have you obeyed the doctrine of Christ? Or have you obeyed the doctrine of men? Turn to Acts chapter 8, look at verse 29. Here's another example of a man who was religious. Here's a man who had traveled all the way from Africa to Jerusalem to worship God. And they didn't have trailway back then. They didn't have jet. You see, we can't get people to drive sometime. Oh, let me leave that alone. Let me move on. But nonetheless, this man had gone all the way to Jerusalem to worship God. And on his way back home, he was reading his Bible, but he was lost. He had prayed to God, but he was lost. He had gone to church service on Saturday, but he was lost. And he was reading his Bible. He was reading Isaiah. And God told, there he goes again, the preacher, to go and explain the word of God to him. And Philip caught up with him and said, do you understand what you read? He said, how can I accept some man explain to me? Philip said, move over. And as they went on their way, the Bible said he told him about Jesus. He preached unto him Jesus. Why? Because you can't be saved until you come to know who Jesus is. He's the man with all of the authority. And when you preach Jesus, you have to preach water, because as they were going on their way, the eunuch says, here's water. Man, here's water. What they've been talking about? Jesus. Now they're talking about water. And he says, here's water. What's keeping me from being baptized? He said, do you believe? Do you believe? Are you willing to make that confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? He says, yes. They said, whoa, stop this chariot. Whoa, stop. Don't pass this body of water up. And he didn't get down there and just get a handful of water and sprinkle over his head. The Bible says both eunuch and Philip went down into the water. Look at verse 38. And he baptized him. He didn't sprinkle him. He baptized him. Because no one is saved until he or she is baptized for the forgiveness of sin. That's why they didn't wait till they got into the city. They found the body of water out there, and he was baptized, immersed, buried in a watery grave of baptism to come in contact with the blood of Christ. Now look at verse 39. And when he came up out of the water, he went on his way doing what? Rejoicing. He was rejoicing. Why? He had found Jesus. Turn to Luke chapter 16. Look at verse 13 and 14. Here's a lady named Lydia, a wealthy lady. A lady who would go out to the lakeside, and not only would she go out there, but she would take her employees and they would go out there and she would have a Bible study with them. But she was lost. Religious, but lost. Morally a good person, but not saved. And then God sent a preacher down there to tell her what she needed to do to be saved. If you look at verse number 14, after Lydia heard about Jesus and her eyes were opened, verse 15, she was baptized. Not only was she baptized, but her household. Why? Jesus said, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's the doctrine of Christ. Where in the Bible it says, accept Jesus Christ into your heart as a personal Savior and you can be saved? Where? If it's not in the Bible, then it must not be the doctrine of Christ. So suppose you obey that. Every plant which my heavenly Father have not planted is going to be rooted up. Well, you think God's going to, you know, I'm serving God the best I can. If the blind lead the blind, they're both are going to fall into the ditch. If you were to die tonight in the condition that you're in, where would you spend your eternity? No one came here tonight with the intention on dying. But do you know you're going to make it home? With what you have obeyed, do you know for certainty that if judgment was to occur tonight, you go to heaven? Why live with uncertainty when you can be sure? The Bible says in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. No, you can't earn your salvation where you just think you deserve to go to heaven. On the day of judgment, we're going to make it there by the grace of God. But we're going to make it there by grace of God because we have tried to the best that we can to comply with the doctrine of Christ. But unless we try to comply with the doctrine of Christ, we're not even on the highway. You're not even on the highway. The grace of God can't reach people who are not trying to comply, at least following the doctrine of Christ. There's some people that have you believe that the grace of God will cover anything. The grace of God. Let me give you this analogy and we're going to close. Ephesians 2 verse 8 said, for by grace are you saved, that not of yourself, it's a gift of God. If I told Brother Dan, don't get up, I'm going to give you $2,000. I'm giving it to him out of the grace of my heart. But Brother Dan has to do something. He has to believe I'm going to give it to him and get up from where he is and come and take it out of my hand. That's his part. And my part is once it gets up here to let it go. God wants to give you salvation. You've got to do your part. Your part is to have faith in Jesus Christ and obey him. God has already done his part. He's waiting on you to do your part. Have you obeyed the doctrine of Christ? Or have you obeyed the doctrine of men? And if you don't know tonight, when this lesson comes to an end, I want to study with you. I'm no hurry to go home. I can stay here all night. If you don't want to study with me, you better go home and call your preacher up tonight and say, give me book, chapter, and verse for why I'm doing what I'm doing. And if he doesn't do it, you call me up. And if he doesn't do it, you need to quit that church tonight. He needs to give you. And you come back tomorrow and share with me what he told you. Is your soul important to you? I'm not here to try to belittle anyone. I'm here to cause you to think. Your soul is at stake. I plead with you. I beg you to obey the gospel of Christ. And if you are a member of the Lord's church and you're not living right, I beg you to get your life right. I plead with you. The Lord needs you. There's ever was a time in the history of America where God needs his people to rise up. The time is now. Many are falling by the wayside and God needs us to rise up. I'm pleading with you. I'm begging you. If you're a member of the Lord's church, live right. Be faithful. People need you. The Lord needs you to be his voice. If we can help you tonight, won't you come and obey the gospel by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized, not because you're already saved, but to be baptized to be saved.
That's right.
If you love the Lord, why don't you come as we stand and sing?